I'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 4. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, received in heaven, or rather reserved in heaven for you. Philippians 3 verse number 20. For your conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of heaven, what the Bible teaches about heaven. Heaven stands for all that is good and enduring. Perhaps the reason so little is given us in the Bible concerning heaven is that we are of such low grade or low ground and so influenced by sin that we cannot understand more than what is revealed to us or what is given. However, there are some things that we can understand and we can accept by faith all other things that are not revealed about heaven. There is the heaven of the air just above the earth. This is the atmosphere where birds fly. Look at Revelation 19th chapter and verse number 17. Revelation 19 verse 17, the Bible says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." Then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 20, the first heaven, the heaven is in the air where the fowls fly and so forth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Then in the 7th chapter and verse number 23, Genesis chapter 7, verse 23, it says, "And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." And so we have the account time and time again of there being the heaven, the first heaven, the in the air where that the creatures are and where they come and go. There is also a heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verses 14 through 16. Genesis, the first chapter, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." And so we have the second heaven. Look at Matthew 24, verse number 29. Matthew chapter 24, And verse number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall give or shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then in Isaiah 13 and verse number 10. Isaiah 13 and verse number 10. For the stars of heaven and of the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So it speaks of the heaven where the fowls of the birds fly, and then of the heaven where the sun, moon, and stars and the planets and so forth are. The first heaven and then the second heaven. There is also a third heaven. If you have the first two, or you have a third heaven, you have the first two, confirming what we're presenting to you tonight. Paul was caught up into this heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up into the third heaven. Again, if there's a third heaven, there's two before that. The first heaven, the fowls, second heaven, the moon, stars, and so forth. And then beyond that is the third heaven. And that third heaven is where God dwells. This is where Jesus ascended up to. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus ascended up into that third heaven where the throne of God is. This is where Jesus mediates. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So this third heaven is where Jesus mediates there before the throne of God. This is where he advocates. Look at 1 John 2. And verse number 1, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is all takes place in the third heaven. And in the this is where that he advocates the cause of God's people as well. Here in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts and verse 56. Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened. This is where that Stephen was being stoned. He said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now notice what he said here. I see the heavens open. There are three, the first, the second, and the third, as we've considered from the scripture. And he said, behold, I see the heavens, plural, opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He's standing there on your behalf. He's standing there on our behalf. He's standing there doing for us what no other man could do, or what we could never do for ourselves. He is interceding. He's mediating. He's on the right hand of the throne of God. And so we know where Jesus ascended to. We know where he remains and where he's at. We know where we can find him. On the right hand of the throne of God in the third heaven. He's there until that day when God says, it's time, go get my people. And he comes in the clouds of the air, and then those that have died in Christ will resurrect from the grave and receive their glorified body. Those that are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and caught up to be with him in the clouds, in the air, so that they'll ever be with the Lord. Elijah in 2 Kings 2 and verse 11, he ascended into this heaven. 2 Kings. Chapter 2 and verse number 11. 2 Kings 2 and 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. This third heaven is where Elijah went up into. He went up in this chariot that God had sent to bring him into his presence. He was caught. And by the way, it didn't take him light years to get there. Riding in a chariot, he made it instantly into the presence of God. You know, a long distance for us is no distance at all for God. And he says, 2 Peter 3 says, that a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with God. He's not affected and limited by time and distance like mankind is. And by the way, in Jesus, he's overcome that distance, because in the moment, twinkling of an eye, we're going out of here when Jesus comes. It's like Elijah was caught up in his chariot. This is where all saints rest from their labors. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And verse number 9, Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and verse number 9. The Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This is where the saints are caught up. Look at verse number 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I like that, as God did from his. As Jesus did from his. Where's he at? He's in the third heaven, the right hand of the Father. And it says we're going to go in like manner as he. And we're going to have the rest that he's got in the presence of the Father. This is where Jesus is preparing a place for his bride. Look at John chapter 14. Beginning with verse number 1, John, the 14th chapter, and verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his special called out chosen disciples. He's talking to his New Testament church. And he's talking to that church, and he said, I'll build, and he built it. And he said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. In other words, there'd always be a New Testament church here on the earth, because that church would produce other churches of like faith and order. And so he promised the gates of hell would not prevail against that kind of a church and that kind of a people. And he went to prepare a place for them. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But notice verse 2, he says, my Father's house are many mansions. I don't want a mansion there. That goes against the Bible? No, it goes against man's idea and reasoning, because we hear songs and so forth about having a mansion. I don't want a mansion. I want to dwell in that city. I want to dwell in that place that Jesus is preparing for his bride, his church. And where's he going to get his bride? He's going to get his bride out of the faithful members of scriptural New Testament churches, churches that have a lineage from church to church back to the one that Jesus built, and churches that are standing and upholding the truths of his word, contending for the faith, preserving that truth that lost souls could be saved, that people could, inside of a New Testament church, give God glory. For in Ephesians 3:21, he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Glory in the church. He only started one kind. Now, I know that's unpopular. I know people don't like that. I remember a time when I didn't like that. I thought that was selfish. I thought that was foolish. When I begin to study God's word, and we begin to research from God's word, I found the truth. And the truth is, he only started one church, he only started one kind, and there's only one faith or system of doctrine and practice. And it's clear. And when he asked us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, the faith, there's only one kind of faith, there's only one doctrine and practice. And by the way, he said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. He said it would never cease, that he would always have the truth of God's word preserved. And where's he going to preserve it? The Spirit through Paul to Timothy. He made it clear to him. He said that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If he's the pillar and ground of the truth, that's the support of the truth. And through scriptural New Testament churches like this one with the same lineage, bless your heart, he has preserved the truth of God's word. He didn't depend on men to do it. He didn't depend on churches to do it. He did it through them. Now that's not popular today, but it's Bible. It's Bible. If you got a question about it, I'll sit down with you anytime, and I'll show you what the Bible teaches concerning it. And if you'll accept the truth, you'll rejoice because of what awaits. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. What to be satisfied with a mansion? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, those mansions in my Father's house are not good enough for my bride. And that Father's house, they're glorious, they're wondrous, but I have a special place that I'm preparing. That city, you go over to Revelation, the 20 through the 21st chapter, and you read about it, and you find that what place is that? There's a new city, a holy Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven, dressed as a bride adorned for her husband. Where's the bride? In that city, that special place that Jesus prepared or is preparing for them. All right. Heaven, this third heaven. This is where the martyrs wait from the tribulation period. Look at Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, these people weren't on the earth. They were somewhere else. They were talking to God. Where were they? He was on his throne. Jesus is the right hand. They were in the third heaven. This is where they were. And the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So this is where these martyrs of the tribulation period are going to be caught up to. This is where all the saints rest from their labors. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest. This is where it's going to be, in that third heaven. And we just read, and one of the scriptures that we just read referred to that rest. And by the way, that rest awaits all of God's people. You know where our brethren have gone who passed away recently and in times past? They went to that third heaven up there, and they are resting, awaiting. And when the Bible says that there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels when there's a soul saved here on the earth. When a soul is saved, however it comes about, they're aware of a soul being saved and they rejoice. Didn't say the angels rejoice. It said there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels. This third heaven is where this is at. And those that are there are those that are at rest, that have gone on. Those that are rejoicing are those that have gone on before us. Do they look down here? No, they don't. Because the Bible's clear. Once they're there, they're not going to be involved here again. And those that are here can't go up there and be involved. But evidently there's an announcement made. When a soul is saved here, they rejoice in the presence of the angels in this place where they're at rest. The final heaven or abode for believers is found in Revelation 21 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. A new heaven and a new earth. Evidently, this earth is to be purged from fire. 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Food for thought. Absolutely food for thought. One of these days, this whole earth's going to melt with fervent heat. It's going away. The language used seems to suggest a dissolving or melting of this present earth and the emergence of a new earth. A new earth. Final state of the saved and their environment. The happiness described in the new earth. Look at Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." The former things burned up. He said he wouldn't destroy the earth with water again, but he would destroy it with fire. It's going to be totally dissolved, totally taken out of the way. And a new heaven and a new earth. comes down. And there's where God's people are going to dwell, in that new heaven and that new earth. The final state of the saved and their environment. Their happiness is described here in 21 verses 3 and 4. Their employment, the employment of those who inhabit the new earth, what they shall do. They shall praise God. Look at Revelation 19 and verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. They shall glorify God. They shall perform service to God. Revelation 22 and verse number 3. The Bible says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was, this is the river of the water of life coming out of that city from the throne of God. On either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. For the healing of the nations. All right. They'll perform service. They will worship God. 21 and verse number 22. 21 and 22. And I saw the temple therein for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the, were the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it, unto it. And the gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So they'll praise God. They'll perform service. They'll worship God. Or we will. We will obey God and do his bidding. 21 and 24, the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and their honor into it. They shall maintain God's order among the nations. This is suggested in the terms of the kings of the nations. The bride will be the center of that eternal home. 21 and verse number 10 says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy city Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the city and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that walked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And they were four square. All sin will be forever banned. All sin will be forever away, cast out into eternity. All sin and all sinners. So there shall be no sin or no sinners enter into the gates of this city. There's none there to enter into. sin will be forever banned, never allowed to enter. These will be real people in a real place doing real things for a real God with a real happiness that will really last forever and ever. What part are you going to have in that city? What part are you going to have in that new heaven and new earth? What part are you going to have? The most faithful, give him glory in his New Testament churches, will be chosen as a bride, and they'll dwell in that city with him. Those who are not, that are outside of a New Testament church, saved, but outside of a New Testament church, that's the nations of the saved that walk in the light of the city. And those that are unsaved are going to wind up in the lake of fire and cast off out in eternity, never to reoccur, never to touch God or his people ever again. Tears are wiped away in heaven, but they're not wiped away until the new heaven and the new earth comes down. So some of God's people are going to shed some tears at the judgment seat of Christ when they see how far short they've fallen. Listen, God has made it available and made it possible for all men to come to him, repent, and by faith trust him as Savior to have eternal life. Those of his children that are born again by the grace of God through repentance and faith, they have an opportunity to do something for God in worshiping and serving him, being obedient to the teachings of his word. Those who will give him honor and glory inside of a New Testament church, those that will live a life according to his word, will receive blessings untold. The millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years, he's going to reign here on this earth. And those that are faithful to him will rule and reign with him. Those that are not will be left out. Those that are left out are better off than those that are not willing to repent of their sins and by faith trust Christ as their Savior. He left no one out. Everyone has opportunity. Question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? He did everything necessary to get us saved if we're saved. Now it's time for us to do. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. But we're saved unto good works, or in order to do good works after we're saved. Not before, but after we're saved. We're saved to do good works. But you know, he leaves it up to us. Where are you going to be? Truly it is up to us. Because he's made the way. He's removed all obstacles. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to Jesus. What shall we sing, brother? 250.